Spiritual Growth and Material Progress, Elder John Longdon, John Longdon, Conference Report, April 1956, pages 45-47. I have no desire to stand here alone. Humbly, in every fiber of my being, seek the blessing of my Heavenly Father that has been so richly manifest here this morning as we have listened to His true servant speak under His inspiration. The hymn we have just sung calls to mind an inspirational experience I shared just about 6 months ago with President and Sister Jacobson of the Eastern States Mission. We visited Brother and Sister Moss, who are assigned to take care of the Peter Whitmer home in close proximity where the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was organized 126 years ago. I suggested we sing Now Let Us Rejoice in the Day of Salvation. I am grateful for the inspiration of that moment. The Day of Salvation, yes, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. These were the words of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians almost 2,000 years ago. I testify to you this morning the words you hear in this conference are truly the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is His gospel, not the gospel of Peter, not the gospel of Mark, not the gospel of Paul, not the gospel of John, or any of the other of those great apostles. They are merely the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ ordained to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I should like to call the attention of the young people here and in the unseen audience to one or two thoughts which I trust will be a stimulation, following the excellent remarks that have been given already. Truly the word of the Lord, I would hope to continue in the same spirit. How does our spiritual growth compare with our material progress? I realize that there would be those who would pervert the gospel, who would endeavor to weaken faith, who would endeavor to weaken the testimony of you young people as you go to study and improve your minds and to develop the intelligence which God has given you. But I humbly plead that you will always remember and understand who you are as you seek to study and to improve your minds. See that your spiritual growth keeps up with your material and economic progress. I testify to you that you are the light of the world. Just previous to the statement which I quoted from Paul to the Galatian saints 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, in His Sermon on the Mount, said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You have the opportunity to be the light of the world, for today is a new day. The eyes of the world, I feel, are upon us. All the glorious things that have occurred within recent months, the visit of the choir to Europe, the dedication of the temple in Switzerland, and then the Los Angeles temple a few weeks ago, have focused much attention on the Latter-day Saints. In an hour and a half in Los Angeles in a taxi and on a bus and in a store, several people who did not know who we were, neither Sister Longdon nor I, asked if we had seen the Mormon temple, and all seemed most anxious to talk about it. They said, "Be sure you see the Mormon temple and see the angel Moroni." I thrill as I see tourists come to these grounds and on Main Street and look heavenward to see the angel Moroni. There is much gratitude and appreciation swelling in my heart that that light has come into our lives. We should understand the message that He has delivered to the earth. Yes, do not leave the Lord out of your studies. A few weeks ago I read the story of a great physician. Someone said to him, "How does it feel to have within your hands the power of life and death as you operate?" And he said, "I never feel that way. In fact, in my younger days when I was cocksure, I was glorying in my record. I was not humble. In an operation I had to reach a hairbreadth decision, and I was incorrect. So for some years I did not practice, and then as I sat one day meditating upon my failure, there was a spirit came to me. It seemed to say, 'God has given you these hands. God has given you your brains. Develop them and utilize them in worthwhile effort.' And so now, since taking up my practice again, I never take scalpel in hand unless there is a prayer in my heart. O God, guide my hands, and give to me of Thy knowledge, for Thou art the great physician, and I am only Thy servant." I pray that we will have the desire to develop our spiritual selves, for only under and by and through that Spirit can we attain the great accomplishments that are held out for us by our Heavenly Father. I ask, as you study the philosophies, that you will give the gospel of Jesus Christ an even break. Study consistently the truths embodied in this great gospel, which I testify to you has been restored to the earth in its fullness. Latter-day Saints need not wander in darkness. In conclusion, I should like to give you a spiritual thought. I visited the Juarez stake just a little over 2 years ago. I went out into an apple orchard. I saw there a glorious harvest which they were reaping, the like of which I had never seen before. Branches were literally touching the ground. They were so heavily laden with delicious fruit. I know they were delicious because I sampled several of those apples. They were delicious by name and also to taste. I said to the stake president, "How come? Do you have a harvest like this every year?" He said, "No, this orchard is 10 years old, and this is the first time I have ever had or experienced such a crop." I said, "How do you account for it?" "I'll tell you, I decided deliberately to do something about it because I wasn't happy with the results I was getting, and so last spring I placed a bouquet of flowers in every apple tree in that orchard, and then God provided the rest, for the bees came along, and they feasted upon those flowers, and they pollinized those apple trees, and here is the rich harvest." And I likened that to our lives. Are we pollinizing our spiritual lives with the things contained in the four standard works of the church, which have been so beautifully called to our attention in this conference? God is anxious and ready to help us if we will only learn of Him. I humbly pray, young people, that you will not leave the Lord out of your lives, and as you study, regardless of what the subject may be, you will realize that there is need to develop your spiritual natures. God bless us so to do, and ever to be humble in accepting His blessings and extending unto Him our gratitude. I know that He lives. I know that He is ready to bless us if we will be obedient, diligent students, ever striving to be influenced by His Spirit. This I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.